Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we're so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Beautiful. Welcome. And I'm so grateful. It's so good to be here on a good Friday. Tell the person next to you, good to see you today. What a privilege it is to be together as a family, as a church family, just loving on Jesus and just remembering his great sacrifice for us. And I love Good Fridays, and I tell myself every time, do not cry, but it's one of those days and moments where you're just in awe of God's love. And you know, when I was preparing for this message, I'm like, Lord, what else is there to say? I'm pretty sure my friends, my church family have heard so many wonderful messages about your love, about Good Friday, about your sacrifice. And the Lord just told me, just tell me your heart. And then the Lord led me to Psalm 19, verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. And church, I just want to encourage us that us being here on this Friday, on our day off, many of us must have a big week and it would have been a good day to have a day off, but you came today to worship Jesus because you know that he is worth everything. He is worth our love. He is worth our singing, whether we sound great or not, or we're shy, or we're quiet, or we're loud, or we don't know how to stand, or we don't know how to sway when the songs are playing. We don't know what to do with our hands. But you came here because you love him. You came here because you want to worship him. You came here because you want to honor that great sacrifice. And so let that be the cry of our hearts this morning. That the words of our mouth as we worship him and that the meditation of our hearts as we focus and keep our eyes on him be acceptable in his sight. Oh Lord, our rock and redeemer. And I just want to share a simple message today, and I titled it, No Greater Love. And my heart is that we meditate on the precious, deep and extraordinary love of God through Jesus. And our verse for today is John 15, verse 13. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. I'm just going to pray before we start. Heavenly Father, thank you for our salvation through Jesus. Thank you for your incredible love that made it possible for us to be here today, for me to stand before here, Lord, that we are all redeemed by the incredible sacrifice of Jesus, who is innocent. He who knew no sin became sin so that we can become the righteousness of God. He took upon his shoulders the sin and the curse and the penalty so that we can have salvation today. And Lord, I pray that we will not let this moment pass. No matter how old we are, no matter how long we've been walking with you, I pray that we will fall more and more and more in love with you, humbled and just more in awe of your great and incredible love. Greater love has no one than this, that someone would lay down his life for his friends. So we honor you, Jesus. We don't look to anyone else but you. We worship you and you alone. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. And in this passage, in this verse, John 15, Jesus was actually talking to his disciples, and it was likely after the Passover meal that he was saying these things, and it's likely that Judas had already left to betray him. And the disciples and Jesus were likely making their way to the Garden of Gethsemane. This is actually a part of a farewell discourse. In chapters 13 to 16 of John, we will find Jesus talking to his disciples and saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He would say, I am the way to the Father. And he would say, I and the Father are one. I am the true vine. Abide in me and bear much fruit. If you love me, you will keep my commandment. Love one another as I have loved you. And the coming of the Holy Spirit, the Helper. And Jesus was telling them as well within these chapters that their sorrow will turn to joy and that he has overcome the world. And it's, when you think about it, at the time, it didn't make sense to the disciples. Like, Jesus, what are you talking about? You're leaving? Where are you going? Can we come with you? Like, and they did not understand that. Today, we have the privilege of hindsight because we understand and we're so blessed to have our leaders and we've got our messages, we've got the Bible, we've got our study Bibles, we've got our life groups to understand the word. But back then, they had Jesus, they looked to Jesus, and no one could explain what Jesus was saying. They just had to trust that what Jesus was saying was true. Because at the time, Jesus, they were expecting Jesus to fight, to be a warrior, to wage war against the Romans and the nations who have oppressed him for a very long time. This is what they expected of the Messiah. They wanted the Messiah to come down and rain brimstone and fire against his nations and allow their nation to be the most powerful, to just be redeemed and to be the greatest again. But how many of us know that that's not what Jesus came to do? What Jesus was saying here and what he was doing this entire time in the 3 years of his ministry with his disciples is he was preparing them for the real events that were about to transpire. And these events, as horrible as they were, there was a deeper spiritual meaning to these things that they wouldn't realize until after his resurrection. But at the time, they didn't know that he was about to be arrested. His very own disciples would abandon him and deny him. He would be accused and tried as a criminal. They spat on him. They put a crown of thorns on him. The crowds who once said, Hallelujah, Hosanna, the crowds would then start crying out, crucify him, as they chose to release a real criminal instead. He would be brutally beaten and humiliated, forced to carry his own cross on the way to Golgotha until he collapsed. He was about to be nailed to a cross, shamed and made fun of. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross. People would say, he saved others. He cannot save himself. He trusted God. So let God rescue him now if God still wants him. And Jesus would say, Father, forgive them for they don't know what they're doing. He was about to die and sacrifice his life for the world. And I remember asking my dad when I was little, Dad, why did Jesus have to die? And my dad pretty much told me, I was probably 11 or 12 years old at the time. Well, because he's the only one who can do it. He's the only one who can save us. And my young mind back then, like, okay, that makes sense. But as I grew older, I asked more questions, but why? Why? There has to be another way. But John 15:13 says, greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. There needed to be a sacrifice. And this sacrifice meant something deeper than just down that cross. It meant that he would give us salvation, that we would be set free from the curse of sin. We would be set free from that eternal separation from God, the Father, that he would restore something that was broken when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden. So why did Jesus have to die? One, because he had to endure our punishment. Isaiah 53:5, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed. Sin had a hold on us, church, on the whole world, on every single person. And it kept us in the darkness, in eternal separation from the Father. But God loves us so much that he wasn't that to be our future. He doesn't want us that to be our eternity. So Jesus willingly, no one forcing him, not because of the enemy, not even because of sin, but because of love and obedience to the Father, he took our sin, our guilt, by dying on the cross, enduring the wrath of God on our behalf, so that we can be declared justified, in other words, righteous and holy. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. He had to endure our punishment. Why did Jesus have to die? Because Jesus wanted to give his life. Hebrews 10:10, we have been sanctified through the offering of his body once and for all. And I love the song that we sang. You know, our debt is fully paid once and for all. There's no need for another sacrifice. There's no better sacrifice. He is the perfect sacrifice. He is the only worthy offering. Hebrews 10:12, he offered for all time, he doesn't need to do it again, a single sacrifice for sins. And in verse 14, for a single offering, he perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. In other words, Christ fully brought salvation for his people, for us. Christ fully brought salvation for his people. We don't need to do anything but place our faith on him and on his finished work on the cross. He's the perfect sacrifice. No one else was worthy or without sin, so that through him we have access to the Father. If you remember, Jesus was talking to the woman at the well, and at the time, she was trying to understand what Jesus was saying. And I remember, and it was one of my favorite verses in the Bible, that the time will come when people will worship him in spirit and in truth. They don't need to go to different places, to a specific place to be with the Father, because the Father would just dwell within us. And that is possible through the work of Jesus on that cross. And lastly, why did Jesus have to die? Because Jesus restored our relationship. In Romans 5, 10 and 11, for since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his son, while we were still in his enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of his son. So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God, because our Lord Jesus Christ had made us friends of God. And this is the New Living Translation. And I love that. Our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends with God. Oh, to be called a friend of God. Church, just meditate on that. To be called a friend of God means that you have that relationship. It's not forced. It is unconditional. We are chosen. And Jesus said it himself in verse 16 of John 15, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear much fruit, so that you should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. This is the work of Jesus on the cross. This is what Jesus was doing the entire time. Later in the lives of his disciples, by the power of the Holy Spirit, they would discover the reality of Jesus' mission on earth. And in return, as we see in the book of Acts, they would give their life to the proclamation of this truth. It is not to fight your enemies. It's actually to love one another as he has loved us. That's what Jesus said in John 15. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You know, we talked about Christology the last 4 weeks, and we talked about the work and person of Jesus, and I encourage you to listen to the wonderful messages of Pastor Son and the leadership team. And you know what spoke to me the most, church, as we finish up and we're about to enter into a time of communion, what spoke to me the most during this time is that, simply put, Jesus went through all of this. All of this trouble to tell me how much he loves me and that I am his friend. He loves you and you are his friend. And I encourage us in this moment before we take communion to just meditate on this truth. That he was lifted onto that cross for you and me in full obedience to the Father because he loves us. And he wants to be with us. He wants us to be with him for all eternity. And as we receive our elements, don't let this moment pass. Let's just close our eyes. And, you know, growing up, I had this song that my parents would play in their cassette tapes at the time. And it's called No Greater Love. And it would say, there's no greater love than this, that a man would give his life for his friend. There's no higher sacrifice that a man would give his life for his friend. You have paid a precious price for me. Let's just close our eyes in a moment as we thank our Heavenly Father that he has restored us back to him through his Son, Jesus. And church, if you put your faith in Jesus, if you have given your life to him, if you have placed your trust in who he is and all that he has done, know that your debt is fully paid. There's nothing else that you can do that can take away his love. I don't know your situation. I don't know exactly how you're feeling at the moment, but the Holy Spirit knows and he is here. And he wants to encourage you and remind you that you are so loved. That Jesus had you on his mind when he went up on that cross. That he willingly endured a shameful death. He endured the wrath of God. He endured the punishment. He endured dying on that cross just so you can have life and have it to the fullest. The enemy has come to kill, steal, and destroy, but Jesus has come to give life and have it abundantly. And today we live in abundance of his grace. We live in abundance of his mercy. We are living free from the curse of sin. Doesn't mean that we don't make mistakes anymore. We still fall. We still stumble. We still do things that are not in God's will. But God's love is this. If you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us from all unrighteousness. Not one, not two, not a little bit, but all unrighteousness. Whatever sin you're carrying, whatever shame you're carrying, know that Jesus has taken care of that on that cross. He endured the shame, He endured the cross, He endured the wrath of God because He loves us, because He wants us, and He calls us His friend. And, you know, at the time the disciples didn't understand that, but once they have had that revelation from the Holy Spirit, like, oh Lord, you have done so much. And they have dedicated their lives to the work and the mission and spreading this truth and loving one another as He had loved us. Let's stand. Church, we are His disciples today. He said it Himself that there's so many more to add to this bunch of people that He loves so much. That's you, that's me. Maybe that's our neighbor, a workmate, a family member who's far off. There's so many more. And that's what He took care of on that cross. That there's nothing that they or anyone need to do but place their faith in Jesus, confess that He is Lord and He is the Savior, and turn away from that life and come to Him freely and receive this free gift of salvation. And as we take our elements today, greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. Church, let's take a moment in your own time. Just say, Lord, thank you for calling me your friend. Just have a moment of prayer and thanksgiving and worship. If you feel like you're far away from Him, just say, Lord, I'm sorry, but here I am. Before you take the elements, let's just be in tune with His Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. First Corinthians 11. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night when He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's eat together. Thank you, Jesus. In the same way, He also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Let's drink together. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. What a promise. He's coming where we will see Him face to face. But in this moment, God, we thank you. Let's just pray. We thank you that as we wait in faith, Lord, we are grateful for this precious, precious, precious gift of salvation. And Lord, forgive us for taking it for granted many, many times. I have taken it for granted many times. But Lord, thank you that we get to be together as a family, not condemned, but just moved to worship you and love you and be in awe of you because you loved us first. We love because He loved us first. And we are able to love Him back because of the great love that He has poured out on us. So in this moment, Lord, it's not just another Good Friday service, but it is our heart's desire to just say thank you. We honor you and we love you for this great love that you have called us your friends, and so we are. And I love church, but the Bible says that we are the children of God and we are His family. And Lord, I pray that in this moment that we will come out more and more and more and more and more in love with you. Help us, Lord. When we stray to the left or to the right, I thank you that your Holy Spirit is there to guide us back to where you want us to be. We worship you in this place and we thank you for the cross. We love you. And we're just going to sing this song. Let's just worship Him together.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death, and a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.